music's been great today. It's good all the time, but it's had a special touch about it today, you know. Praise the Lord for that. I want you to take your Bible, turn to the book of Jonah with me. The book of Jonah, chapter number 4. Believe it or not, we're going to finish the book of Jonah this morning. It's been a hasty journey, and we've come to chapter number 4 of the book of Jonah. I'm going to read the whole chapter here. Relax, it's 11 verses, and I talk fast. Jonah chapter 4. Appreciate you being here. Good crowd today. God bless you. And let's pray that the Lord will speak to us today through His Word. Jonah chapter 4. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in a shadow, till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd, made it come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head, to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. It came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted, and wished in himself to die, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city wherein are more than 60,000 persons, that's 120,000, that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? Interesting way to end the book, isn't it? The book ends with a question. We'll understand that as we come to the close of this message. But if you mark your Bible, I want you to mark a question that the Lord asked Jonah twice. He asked him at first in verse number 4. Then he asked the same question in verse number 9. He said, Jonah, doest thou well? Doest thou well? Is what you're doing right? Is this warranted? Jonah, are you doing right? Is this the right thing? Everybody got it? If not, I'm going to read the whole chapter again and say it again. Everybody got it? Amen. I thought you might say amen there. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Help us this day to be filled with your Spirit and power. Lord, we thank you for your word. May you speak to us through it. May thy will be done here, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the book of Jonah opened with the Lord telling Jonah to go to Nineveh and cry against it. However, we saw, as we preached through this book, that Jonah made the decision to go in the opposite direction. He got on a ship going to Tarshish. He was running from the Lord's will for his life. Now, while on board this ship, he fell asleep during a time of terrible storm. The shipmaster came to him and told him to call upon his God. Now after this, these shipmen cast lots and the lot fell on Jonah. We've already preached on all this. I'm just summarizing this book to get us to where we're at. Jonah proceeded to tell them how he was running from the presence of the Lord. Now when these men could not get the ship to land, they cast Jonah overboard. And the Lord had prepared a great fish that swallowed Jonah whole. Once inside the fish, Jonah began to pray. And the Lord heard his prayer. The Lord spoke to the fish and had it vomit Jonah out on dry land. Now as he was on the dry land, the Lord, and by the way, I'm sure he smelt great after that and looked great after that. But as he was on the dry land, the Lord spoke to him again the second time and told him to go to Nineveh and preach against it. Jonah obeyed this time and preached an 8-word sermon. The whole city of Nineveh repented before God. And there was a great revival that day. God had spared this great city in his rich mercy. Now, this is where we pick up the story today. Jonah has finally obeyed the Lord. He has gone to Nineveh in chapter 3. He preaches what God tells him. The whole city repents before God. Now we come to chapter 4. And as we come to chapter 4, the Lord is placing our attention again upon Jonah and the Lord. And this entire chapter places the prophet Jonah on display for us after he sees how the Lord is in the process of sparing this city. Now keep in mind, Jonah did not want these people saved. He says that in verse number 2, and that is probably due to the fact of how barbarous these people were, how wicked they were, how unmerciful they were, and it was prophesied that these were the people that were going to try to take the Israelites down. Now this being the case, the Lord is in the process of sparing this city. And we come to chapter 4, and there's a question that the Lord asked Jonah twice. He said, "Doest thou well?" It's this question that I want to draw our attention to. Now get this picture in your mind. Jonah has preached to this wicked city of Nineveh. They were a brutal and unmerciful people to those they conquered. They deserve to be killed in the same way that they killed others. However, the Lord God of heaven has extended his mercy to them by sending them warning. And once they responded right to his warning, God spared them from destruction that he had pronounced. Now I want to look and see what happens now with Jonah. As Jonah is being brought back to our forefront. There's three things about Jonah I want us to see. And every one of us can become indicted today, if you will. As I was studying this passage of Scripture, I wrote down a statement here, and I'll say it again. God forgive us for our sin. Because there's three things we notice about this man by the name of Jonah. Jonah was God's child. Jonah was a godly man. But Jonah had a problem. And this problem's brought out for us, number one. First thing we notice on this question, doest thou well? We got to go back and look at what God's saying. First of all, let's notice Jonah's response. Now we see his response in verses 1 to 5. I'm not going to read it again for time's sake. But in the opening 5 verses of this chapter, we see how Jonah responded to God sparing the Ninevites through his preaching. Now before we get to this response, let us consider that it's been reported that this city could have had more than 600,000 people in it. This is taken from the last verse where he talks about 120,000 that cannot even discern between the right and left hand. Most people, and I agree with this, can't prove it, but I agree with it, say that he's referring to children there. Those who are so young that they can't even discern between the right and left hand. Let's say this, there were 120,000 children there, but even if there wasn't, then the whole city had 120,000. It doesn't matter. Again, we're not going to split hairs here. All we know is that there were many, many people living in this city. Now get this, Jonah preaches a message and the entire city responded. I mean the whole city responded by repenting before God. Now before we even get to Jonah's response, can you imagine today if somebody preached an 8-word message and the entire city of Johnson City got saved? Could you imagine if I got up today and the whole city of Kingsport was listening and I got up and preached 8 words and the whole city fell under conviction and every last one of them got saved? There were many more than this in this city. Talking about other than Johnson City and Kingsport. Matter of fact, you combine them, the city had a lot more than that. I'm simply trying to say how amazing this day truly was when you think about it. One would think that Jonah would be on cloud 9. After all, God used the message he preached. It was his word, but God used him as a mouthpiece. You'd think he'd be on cloud 9 rejoicing in the goodness of God and how God used him in such a wonderful way. However, we see that this is just the opposite of how Jonah responded. Instead of Jonah responding with rejoicing, he responded in a very surprising way. Matter of fact, verse number 1, I'm paraphrasing these. You can read it while I'm paraphrasing if you'd like to do that. But in verse number 1, we see Jonah, instead of being excited about it, he was displeased and very angry. You know what that word angry means? It means to get hot in the face, if you will. He lost his temper. He got mad. Verse number 2 tells us that he prayed to the Lord, telling him, saying, this is why I didn't want to go in the first place. This is, listen, here's this man of God. He's praying, not in rejoicing. He's mad. He's upset with God. And he's talking to God and saying, this is the reason in the first place. In other words, I don't see him saying, God, this is the reason in the first place I didn't want to go. No, he's upset. He's angry. He's mad. He's furious. And he's saying, this is the reason I didn't want to go. He said, I know that you are a God of grace. Amen. He said, I know that you're of mercy, and I know that you're slow of anger and of great kindness. And see, in other words, he knew that it's possible because of the mighty grace of God and the mighty mercy of God and the mighty goodness of God. He knew it was possible that God would turn his anger. By the way, do you see how hypocritical this is of Jonah? Because that's what it took in Jonah's life to save him, my friends. And I'm telling you something here, that Jonah is upset. He's praying. He did not want him to be saved. Verse number 3, he requests the Lord to take his life. Now, can you imagine a preacher getting up and preaching a message and hundreds of thousands of people trust the Lord? Repent and trust the Lord. Can you imagine that preacher saying, kill me, God, it's not worth living anymore? This man has problems. He has problems. It's at this time that the Lord came to Jonah. And he said, Jonah, doest thou well? You know, the Lord knows exactly what to ask. Now stay with me here, because we're going somewhere with this. It's interesting that Jonah didn't answer that question in verse 4. Verse 5 says that what he did, he went out of the city. He made him a booth and sat down to see what would become of the city of Nineveh. It's even possible here, and it came out in my study, because it says right here in verse number 5, he sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. See, it's still possible that Jonah's wondering, maybe God will still take him down. Because he just said in verse number 2, I didn't want you to save them. I didn't want you to have mercy on them. They don't deserve it. So he goes out of the city after God says, doest thou well to be angry, Jonah? He goes out and makes a booth, and he's watching the city. He's wondering, are they going to die or not? Do you see how far from God this man is right here? I'm telling you that this is Jonah's response. Now, as we consider this response of Jonah, it's amazing to see the hardness of his heart toward these Ninevites. One may wonder, what was his problem? Why is he acting in this despicable way? This brings me to my second point. Not only Jonah's response, but number 2, Jonah's revelation. And I'm going to show you something here in verses 6 to 9. It's interesting here. Let me just read it again. It says, and the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it come up over Jonah that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. It came to pass when the sun did rise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished in himself to die, and said, it's better for me to die than to live. God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry even unto death. Now, you say, what in the world is God doing here? Here's Jonah, he sent him into this city. God has performed a miracle, if you will. They've responded right. They've repented of their sin. God is saving these people, sparing them from destruction. Jonah's mad and upset and said, this is why I didn't want to do it in the first place. And instead of Jonah rejoicing in God being praised, he's upset and he goes out and he builds a booth and he's sitting there. And that very day, God sent a plant over Jonah to give him shade. And the Bible says that Jonah was exceeding glad for the gourd. Get this. He was mad at people getting saved, but he was glad when he was comfortable. Stay with me. The next day, God sent a worm. Don't you just love how the Lord works? He sent a worm. And the worm just began to eat away at that plant until it withered. Then he sent a wind and he beat it down. I'm talking about where the sun was beating down upon the head of Jonah, and he fainted. And Jonah got mad again. Why else would God ask the question, "Doest thou well to be angry for the gourd?" You know what that tells us? He was mad about the gourd. Good night. Hey, anybody here deal with your temper? Don't raise your hand. He's mad. He's upset again. But he's no longer upset right now about the people. He's mad because the gourd withered. God's doing something here. What's he doing? You may tell you what he's doing? He's revealing Jonah's problem. He's bringing Jonah to the mirror and saying, "Here's your problem, boy." Now I'm telling you, this is powerful. As Jonah is sitting under the booth, he's made this booth. He's waiting to see what will happen. The Lord sent this plant, made it come up over him to protect him from the hot sun. He was glad for it. This word glad means he cheered up. He started rejoicing. Here Jonah is, mad as a wet hen for God saving people, and he gets glad over here because the sun's not beating on his brow. Now, this being the case, get the picture. Jonah's very mad for the deliverance of the Ninevites from death and hell, but he's very glad for his own deliverance from current discomfort. However, the Bible tells that God prepared this worm, and when he smote it, the sun rose up. God prepared this wind, and it beat down upon him. And then God said, "Doest thou well, Jonah, to be angry for the gourd?" Jonah had the gall to look at God and said, "I do very well, even unto death." Now, as I was studying this, I've already said this, but the Lord showed me how what the Lord was in the process of doing was he was revealing Jonah's heart to himself. Here Jonah was mad at God for saving the Ninevites from destruction. Then he was mad for the gourd that was smitten by the worm. In this, the Lord is revealing Jonah's true problem. You know what it was? He was preoccupied with lesser passions than lost souls. I'm telling you, Jonah was more upset. He was more mad about the destruction of the gourd than the salvation of the Ninevites. Jonah's problem was not the Ninevites, my friends. Jonah's problem was himself and his own personal comfort. He wanted the Ninevites to die, and he got mad when his own personal comfort was tampered with. God was revealing to Jonah his real problem was that he was more consumed with his personal comfort and temporary perishable things like the gourd than he was with the salvation of eternal beings for the glory of God. What a lesson the Lord's teaching. There is a man that put it this way: luxury living abounds on every hand. While souls are dying for want of the gospel, Christians are wearing crowns instead of bearing a cross. We become more emotionally stirred over sports, politics, television than we ever do over Christ. There is little sense of spiritual need. There is little longing for true revival. Believers, G. Campbell Morgan said this: persecution is only Satan's second best weapon. His first is materialism. A very well Chinese leader said this: it could be that consumerism is a more effective killer of Christianity than communism ever was. I'm telling you, let's be honest. What bothers us most? Losing something that's temporal, or people dying as I speak and splitting hell wide open? Jonah's problem was this, and God took him to the woodshed, and God took him to the classroom and said, "I'm going to teach you something, young man." He didn't know what God was doing with the gourd. He didn't know what God was doing with the worm. He didn't know what God was doing with the wind, but God was showing him, "You are more interested and you get upset more over something that you had nothing to do with." In verse number 10, look at it.
Verse number 10, notice he says, then said the Lord, after Jonah said, yes, I do very well. Then said the Lord, thou hadst had pity on the gourd. You know what that word pity means? It means to have compassion for it. Look it up. That's what that word means. It means to have compassion over it. He said, here, you love the gourd, Jonah, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. God saying, you had nothing to do with the gourd. You didn't create the gourd. You didn't make the gourd. You didn't tend the gourd. And yet when I had it come up overnight and perish in a night, you love that more than you love people, Jonah. I'm telling you, I'm convicted. Because how many times do we take what God gives? The gourd was God given to Jonah. How many times do we take a blessing from God and put it above the Lord, and we get more upset if we lose that than if somebody hears the gospel of Jesus Christ? This is Jonah's revelation. Let me ask you a question. You get more upset if you lose money or if your neighbor goes to hell? You get more upset if you lose health or if half the world never hears the gospel? Are you more upset if you lose your car, your house, your job, etc., etc., etc.? Or are you more upset that there are those without Christ who are dying as I speak? What upsets you more? What bothers you more? God is saying, Jonah, this is sickening. You are more concerned over a plant than people. Somebody put it this way. Could a mariner sit idle if he heard the drowning cry? Could a doctor sit in comfort and just let his patients die? Could a fireman sit idle, let men burn and give no hand? Can you sit at ease in Zion while the world around you is damned? This is Jonah's revelation. That brings us to my third point. I've already brought out some of it, but that's Jonah's rebuke. Jonah's response was he got mad at God. This is why I went to Tarshish, God. I don't want these people saved. I don't want them trusting you. I don't even want you to, I don't want your mercy to be extended to them. I don't want your grace to be extended to them. I know you're a God of grace. I know you're a God of mercy. I know that you're a God of pity. I know that you love people. And I know that if I preach that you're probably going to turn and you're going to save these people. And that's what you did, God. That's why I'm mad. Can't you just see the heart of God breaking as he comes to Jonah and says, boy, doest thou well? He goes out and sits under this booth, hoping to see that this city's still going to go up in flames. God gives him a gourd. God made that gourd. God destroyed the gourd because he's pounding at the heart of the issue. He's revealing Jonah's heart to himself. He's saying, Jonah, I want you to see something. Your problem is not me saving the Ninevites. Your problem is not the Ninevites coming after your people. Your problem is you. You are interested in your comfort. You want my blessings. You want my grace. You want my mercy. But you don't, listen, you're more concerned over a plant that you had nothing to do with than over the people that I made. I created them. This is what he's saying. And this brings me to my rebuke here. Verse number 10, then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast had not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? See, after Jonah told the Lord, he did well to be angry for the gourd. The Lord began to rebuke Jonah in the closing two verses. In verse 10, he told Jonah that he had pity. That means compassion. That means regard on the gourd. And that he did not labor to make it. He had nothing to do with it. I mean, he had nothing to do with its growth. It had come up in a night, and it had perished in a night quickly. It was perishable. It was temporary. It wasn't eternal. It was a blessing from God, but it was something temporary. It was materialistic. The gourd was God-given to Jonah. However, instead of having the right perspective on the gourd, Jonah put its importance above God's desire for the salvation of the world. What is it that the Lord has graciously given you that you had nothing to do with? Health. You say, wait a minute, I eat right, I exercise, hogwash. The Bible even says that bodily exercise profiteth nothing. I'm thinking about adopting that as my life verse. But anyway, let's go on. I'm saying this to you here, that no matter what you have, every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights. God has been good to us. He's taken care of us. But what is it that God has given you that you're more concerned about losing it than a lost soul that's dying without Christ? It's been said that God-given gourds can hold us back from God's heart. That's what the Lord's rebuking Jonah for. What is God's purpose? What is God's goal? What is God trying to do? I remember when Dr. Clarence Sexton was here many months ago now, a couple of years or so. He told us, he said, you know, I'm paraphrasing. He said, many people are trying to find out, trying to get God in on what they're doing. He said, the fact is, God's already doing something. We need to find what it is and get involved in it. You know what it is? He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The will of God is that the world be saved. Amen. And if you're not involved in that, you're more concerned with a gourd. You say, you're judging me. You got it. You got it. Because if you're not involved with what God is doing, then you have to be involved in what you're doing. There's no middle ground. You say, wait a minute, I'm not doing anything. Exactly. And that means you're doing nothing for God, which means it's all self-centered. I'm telling you here now, I'm trying to help us. He goes on to say in verse number 11, he says, should not I spare Nineveh, that great city? Now he just said, you didn't labor over the gourd. You didn't have anything to do with its growth. So what is God saying? This is the Lord's way of showing Jonah how Jonah had compassion on the gourd of which he had nothing to do with. And should he not have compassion on what God created? The people? The Ninevites? God was rebuking Jonah for his weeping over a plant that perished and not weeping over people who were perishing. It's been said that the reference to the right hand and left hand, I've already said this, has to do with identifying the number of infants in the great city. The fact of the matter is Jonah was more concerned about the temporary gourd for his own comfort than the people that God created and wanted to save. Let me ask you a question. How much time did you spend this week? And I'm convicted. I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching to us. God's convicting me. How much time did you spend this week on eternal things compared to temporal things? How many people did you tell about Jesus? How many people did you give a gospel tract to? See, when push comes to shove, many of us, notice I say us, I didn't say many of you, I said many of us are guilty of being more concerned over a gourd than people that God created to save. Oh, teach me what it meaneth, that cross uplifted high, with one the man of sorrows condemned to bleed and die. Oh, teach me what it cost thee to make a sinner whole, and teach me, Savior, teach me the value of one soul. Jonah was a godly man, but Jonah didn't understand God's mind and heart towards lost people. Jonah was more concerned over a gourd than people. It's been said that a gourd is something we would be more upset losing than a lost soul. However, the Lord was using this gourd, this worm, and this wind to teach Jonah a great lesson. You know what he was teaching him? Jonah, I'm no respecter of persons. I want all men to be saved. God knew the Ninevites were barbarians. God knew the Ninevites didn't deserve salvation. God knew the Ninevites were very unmerciful to those they conquered. But God's not willing that any, I emphasize any, should perish, my friends. You ever looked at a group of people and say, I hope they get what they deserve? You ever looked at a group of people and say, I hope they burn in hell. Don't you tell me that that's never come out of a Christian's mouth. After what they did and after what they're doing, I hope they burn in a devil's hell. That's Jonah. And God's saying, okay, you're mad about that? Let me show you something. He'll send a gourd. And he'll say, look, you're a hypocrite. You get mad and upset because of something you don't even make. You don't have anything to do with it, but it has to do with you and your comfort. But you don't want others to be comforted. You don't want others to be saved. What a rebuke. And the Lord's still rebuking today. I'm telling you. Jonah was sad for the gourd because of what it meant to himself. You know what God was saying? That's why I'm sad for the Ninevites. Because of what it means to me. I made them. I created them. And I want to save them. That's God. God cared for the people of Nineveh. Jonah cared for the plant. God was more concerned, was concerned for the welfare of others. Jonah was concerned for the welfare of himself. God created all that was in Nineveh. Jonah didn't create the gourd. God tended Nineveh. Jonah did nothing for the plant. The Ninevites are of eternal significance. The plant was temporary. God's concern was and is for human life. Jonah's concern was for personal comfort and interest. God's concern for Nineveh displays love. Jonah's concern for a plant displays selfishness. Now, which one are you more concerned about? It's interesting to note how this book ends with God's question of Jonah. This is where the book was going all along, my friends. Jonah's not intended to be the last one in our minds and in our hearts. But God, who loves the world and desires to spare them from his divine wrath. Now, I've got one statement to make here, but let me just say this to you. What's the book of Jonah about? Somebody would stand to their feet, don't do it, but somebody would stand to their feet and say, it's about Jonah and the unwilling prophet. Incorrect. It's about the Ninevites. Incorrect. Let me tell you what this book's about. It's about an all-graceful, all-merciful God who wants the world to be saved, even if some of his best people don't want it. So I make this statement, we close. Let the gourd perish, but not the people. Amen or not? Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love you today. We thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for your mercy and grace. Help us to love you, to trust you, to believe you. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. Guide us in this invitation. May thy will be done. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. As soon as they get prepared, they're going to begin to play through softly. I want to make this statement to you first. You hear about the book of Jonah, and you hear about this last message about the Ninevites and how he rebuked Jonah for not loving those people but loving the gourd. Maybe you're here, and the accurate picture in your life is you're a Ninevite. All I mean by that is you're not saved. You're outside of the family of God. I'm glad to report to you that if the whole world doesn't love you, Jesus Christ loves you. God loves you. Jonah didn't love the Ninevites, but God did. Somebody may have come in this auditorium and say, Jody, if I drop dead right now, I don't know if I'm saved or not. But I'm going to tell you one thing. I'm too bad to be saved. Can I say something to you? God sent his son Jesus to die in your place because he loves you, he wants to save you, and he said, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Have you know for sure you're saved? Be honest. You know without a doubt that you're a Christian. Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? You say, I don't hope so. I know I'm saved. God bless you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Is there somebody today? I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to come to your seat. But you say, Jody, pray for me. I couldn't raise my hand to that. But I'll tell you one thing. I want to know more about this God who loves me.
See, it's not man that takes you to heaven, it's God. Heaven's a real place. And the only way you're going to go is if you have been saved by the grace of God. Is there one today say, Jody, pray for me? Again, I'm emphasizing, we're not going to come to your seat. We wouldn't embarrass you for the world. If you say, Jody, pray for me, I'd like to be saved today. I'd like to know Jesus as my Savior. And I'd like to know that when I stand up today and I leave, I'd like to know that heaven is my home. Is there one like that? Would you raise your hand in the air with mine, put it right back down? Anybody at all? I'm looking. My eyes are surfing. You say, Jody, what's people going to think of me? Who cares? The only thing that matters is what God knows. So if you're here today and you need Jesus as your Savior, come to the cross. Ask Jesus to come into your heart. By the way, we're not asking you to do something we've not done ourselves. If you're saved today, would you say amen? If you're glad you got saved, say amen right there, would you? And we want you to be able to say the same thing. Is there one? I need to be saved. In just a moment, why don't you come? We'll have a lady with a lady, a man with a man. And we'll share with you the gospel. How many here today say, Jody, God is speaking to me. God is speaking to me about gourds and people. What I mean by that, it doesn't mean that you're more interested in perishable things, but God is just emphasizing this to you. It doesn't mean you're guilty of it, or maybe it does, but at least He's emphasizing this same rebuke and this same truth to you that He emphasized to Jonah. And you say, Jody, God is speaking to me. I'm saved. God is speaking to me about being more concerned about people that He created. Let me tell you why you need to knock doors and give gospel tracts out. Let me tell you why. Because God created those people. God wants to save those people. And He wants to use you to bear the message like He did Jonah. Have you say, Jody, pray for me. I'm saved, but God is speaking to me. Would you raise your hand? Be honest. You say, I'm saved, but God is speaking to me. Yes. If you got your hand raised, I'd like you to come to the altar here in just a moment. By the way, you coming will help somebody maybe who's lost to come. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Father, take it. Use it in a great way. Help us, I pray. In Jesus' name. Brother Gary's singing, if God is dealing with you, would you leave your place? If you raise your hand, come on. You're not sure you're saved, come on. As Brother Gary sings, leave your place and come.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. Presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender.
They're playing through softly. If you're standing, I'd like you to look this way. The Lord is emphasizing through this book that even those that the world says, let them go. I'm thinking of a man right now who came to see me and said, I want you to know something, Jody, tears in his eyes. He said, I've got a burden for those that nobody else cares about. I got a burden for those that the world just says, let them be gone. Let them be finished. There's a group of people out there that every person on planet Earth has a tendency of saying, forget them. Forget them. They don't deserve it. Can I say something to you? Neither do I. Neither do you. And God's saying, Jonah, I've got a message to let you know. You may be mad about me sparing the Ninevites, but you didn't create them, Jonah. I made them. They're my creation. And I want the world to be saved. That's God. My friends, we better be glad He feels that way, because if He didn't, are you listening to me? If you keep the whole law of God and yet offend in one point, you're guilty of all, my friends. We are hypocrites. to praise God for our salvation but not walk across the street and tell our neighbors. This is what he's dealing with. May the Lord help us. Right here, okay. Just about through. Stay with me just a moment. We have all these precious children over here to my left. We've got them in the corner, but not on purpose, okay? Victoria Phillips. Where's Victoria? Great. Is it Alfida or Alfida? Say, right? I like that. Good. Let's see here. We have Timothy Mendenhall. Good to see you, Timothy. This is Kalina Young. Where's Kalina? Right there. Great. Amelia Davis. Cassidy Murray. Bobby Morgan. And Cheyenne Harper. All of these are coming today. Look at me now. All of you are coming today and you're receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. Am I right? So you've asked the Lord to come into your heart. You ask Him to forgive your sin, take you to heaven when you die. How many are happy for these children? Would you say a big amen? Isn't that great? We're so glad you're here. I'm sure you're excited about Gift Sunday. Am I right by saying that? Good. We're going to ask you to stay right there just a moment. I need to dismiss all the teachers. Okay. Hang on just a moment here, okay? I did not. Rachel Bishop, if you wouldn't mind to stand there, please. You have trusted Christ as your Savior, and you have been scripturally baptized, correct? You've been immersed. And she's coming today. She wants to join our church by statement. And we're glad to have you. And we want you to help us now to reach people. What's the pleasure of the church that we receive her on her statement? Could I have a motion that we receive her on her statement, please? Brother Scott, Brother Jack, second. All in favor say aye and raise your hand high. Any opposed, same sign. So carry. We've had two deaths in our church family. Somebody's going to have to help me with these arrangements because I failed to bring them to the platform with me. But Connie Fish, Peggy Milhorn, Kathy Smith's sister, they're receiving friends at the funeral home at the airport for their sister at what time? 3 to 5. And then I understand Mrs. Georgia Miller's nephew passed away. And they are having that service today at Teatrick Funeral Home behind the Kmart there in Johnson City. Does anybody know what time that is? It's from 2 to 4, correct? Okay, receive friends from 2 to 4 at Teatrick for Georgia Miller's nephew, and then at the funeral home at the airport here from 3 to 5 for Peggy and Connie and Kathy's sister. Okay? Thank you for reminding me of that. All right? Very good. I'm going to dismiss all the teachers who are going back to distribute your gifts. You go ahead and do that right quick here. And then right after that, wait on me now. Wait on me. We're going to unleash the children. And I'm saying unleash because that's what it's going to be. It's going to be chaos. Unleash them here in just a moment. Okay? I'll give them a head start to the count of 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1/2, 5. If you're a child, nursery, of course I hope we have no nursery age running back through there, but anyway, nursery age all the way through 12th grade, you are dismissed to go back to your department where you were for Sunday school. So if that's you, you can be dismissed at this time. God bless you. Let's let them get out just a minute and then we'll dismiss everybody else. Hope you'll be back tonight, 6:30. Pray for the John Sevier Chapel at 4:30. That'll be a great thing, all right? Hope many of you come by and welcome Rachel Bishop into the membership of our church. That'll be good. God bless you, folks. Have a great day. Love you, most of you. Have a great day. God bless you. We'll see you tonight.